Home. They say it's where the heart is. They also say it's wherever you make it. They don't say. It's where you unload your stuff, get tired halfway through unpacking, use some boxes as furniture, realize your oven mitt's in a box that doubles as a nightstand, don't want to buy a new nightstand, and use a towel as an oven mitt instead. But no matter where you call home, GEICO makes it easy to bundle and save on renters and car insurance. Easier than grabbing a piping hot pan with a towel that's a bit too thin and trying to quickly get it to the counter. Ooh, hot, 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 hot.
This episode is brought to you by Verizon. Get a Verizon Business Unlimited plan from the network businesses rely on. Hey, Monica, with 5G Ultra Wideband in many more cities, you get up to 10 times the speed at no extra cost.
Hello, downloads in no time.
Plus, unlimited premium data and hotspot data to keep the signal flowing and your teams going. Come in or book an appointment with a Verizon business expert to find the right plan for your team. 5G Ultra Wideband available in over 1,700 cities with Business Unlimited Pro 2.0 smartphone plan. Speed comparison is to median Verizon 4G LTE speeds. Download speeds may vary depending upon network and coverage conditions and content optimization for 5G Ultra Wideband.
Bad showmanship on my part here, but I just feel like the countdown is a part of the intro now. So I just what happened? Anyway, Javier Jase, the man with the plan. What's up, my friend?
Doing great. Joining from Colombia today. Should I show you my view just to make you a little bit jealous?
How is it that every time you travel, you end up in some seaside friggin' resort? And I'm like stuck in like 89 degree humidity and just no water anywhere to be seen. Like, I don't know, Javi, just trade lives with me. So drop a one in the chat if you want to be where Javi is today in Colombia on the sea, looking good. Why are you in Colombia, Javi? Are you visiting some awesome cannabis operators over there?
A little bit of that. Nati, who is the co-founder of El Tanteo, and I are speaking at a conference in July in Cartagena. And Expo Cannabis, by the way, go check it out. We just decided we have some friends here, and we decided why not work with AVU since we're working 15-hour days.
What? That never happens. Y'all, welcome to Cannabis Insider. As you join us, Annette, welcome in. Thrilled to have you. Drop a comment in the chat as you pop in. Let us know what cannabis stocks you're watching. Let us know if you don't invest in cannabis. I want to know what your thoughts are on cannabis. And we'll get the questions in throughout the show. Also, Javi, let's dive in, man. But we do have an exciting interview today. One of a good friend of mine, actually. You're right, two interviews. The good friend of mine, we have Alex from Risk Strategies. He loves to give us alternative viewpoints on what seem to be very mundane topics in this industry, such as insurance. So I'm going to put it to him. I'm going to make him make insurance the most interesting subject in the world today. And I'm pumped about it. But he's actually pretty large in this space. So get ready for an awesome interview there. And then we're going to end it with an awesome interview with Denise Donardi, a chief C-suite over at Native Roots Cannabis, one of the largest single state operators in Colorado. A really, really cool company. You're going to want to stay tuned. We're highlighting more private companies throughout this summer, getting more of them involved so you can see the next wave of entrepreneurs. But before we dive into that, we bring Javier Jase on for a reason, because he is the man with the plan. He has all the news, and he's going to let us know what's happening right now in this industry.
Is it just the news? Isn't it also my charming personality and perfect English accent?
Hey, you know what? I did not give you enough credit. That's going to go on my intro next time.
Come on, let's go.
What's up, Javi? Tell us what's going on.
Cannabis tech company Dutchy is slashing its staff by 7% amid economic uncertainty. According to GeekWire, there was a report and several people on LinkedIn, you know, people who got laid off, saying that the layoffs included positions in product and recruiting teams.
You know, they're not the only one, though. Like, that's the thing. It's like, we can highlight Dutchy all we want. I'm pretty sure Akerna had some layoffs. I think there were several companies recently that have had some layoffs. And Javi, I'd love your input on this. Is incremental firings. To grow and to be a growing company, you have to fire people.
Some of our favorites. So it's sad to see, for sure. It's always sad to see, you know, the cannabis economy face these kinds of challenges.
But let's be real. Let's be real. And this is nothing against you. I'm not actually trying to argue with you here. I'm actually on the same page. But as a company grows, you see firings. Like you do. Yeah. But the thing with cannabis is it's less incremental, more in bulk. And do you think that's partially what's happening here? Because for the most part, Dutchie's a thriving business.
Yeah, I think it's honestly, it's a few things, right? On the one hand, you know, when we see cannabis sales drop, it's pretty sudden, you know, from one month to the next. And it's very, you know, correlated in a certain way with economic cycles. Even though the pandemic suggested it was recession resistant, it is proving to not be as recession resistant as it is. And then there's, you know, the capital crunch, right? The fact that there's not as much capital available for companies. So, you know, they you know, sometimes they plan and think, you know, hey, we'll raise some more money in a few months. And then it gets tough, right? The environment right now is not easy to raise money in the cannabis industry.
That's very true. But I will say, aren't the people who, and granted, like the capital flow right now is less than 100% from the 2021, this time in 2021. And the investments that were made were way more in 2021. But those who are getting them right now, isn't it tech? Isn't it tech? Isn't it lenders?
Cultivation. If we look at our you know, the data from our very good friends at Viridian Capital Advisors, stay tuned for some exciting news.
Ooh.
There. But yeah, I mean, if you look at it, it's tech, some ancillary businesses, but mostly cultivation that is really seeing an uptick. Also, you know, investments in California falling consistently. I think all of that is you know, interesting to see. But here's another good piece of good news, right? If you're looking to raise money, Benzinga is hosting its second annual, or I mean the second of this year. It's our 15th Cannabis Capital Conference. The Cannabis Capital Conference is coming to Chicago September 13 and 14 in the Palmer House. Can you tell us about the Palmer House and why we chose that place, you know, to gather all the industry and help them raise some real bucks?
Yeah, I mean, it's a classic venue in Chicago. If you live in Chicago, you've been there. It's beautiful. But past that, Benzinga's event in Miami had 2,000 plus registrants. And we want you all to network at the venue for 2 days straight. So we get hotel rooms. We take over a hotel. And that's why we stick to hotels. And the Palmer House is an awesome venue for us. It's going to be an incredible event. We have some pretty cool MSOs already signed up, like Body and Mind. We're talking to the main tier one MSOs. I'm not going to say they've committed until they've committed, but you know, Benzinga, we don't fail when it comes to speaker acquisition. We're going to get some high level personalities. Keep an eye out for these speaker announcements. And here's what I'll say, so we don't belabor this point here. Sign up. Go get our newsletter. Cannabis Daily goes out every day. Sign up for our newsletter. Sign up for our events to be on our events updates. That you'll get all of our speaker updates. You'll be able to see when ticket prices go up, which they will. This is the cheapest you will get them. By the time we were at Miami, we had hundreds of people reaching out every day, and our venue was literally full. So with that being said, you do want to get tickets soon. BZCannabis.com. We're going to make it easy for you. It's coming Thursday and have some QR codes available. But BZCannabis.com, just head there. Check it out. See who we have involved so far. And I guarantee you, we're going to have some awesome companies start rolling in June. We already have some committed that we can't say quite yet.
From the Midwest to the Northeast, a Benzinga exclusive, New York got its first Latino-owned licensed dispensary. Electroleaf, who is run by Pedro Sotomayor, got a cultivation license in New York. I love to see this. I love
any relation to the Supreme Court justice?
I don't think so.
Just curious.
Not that I know of. I would include that in a press release if I were.
Yeah. Fair enough. That's awesome. So there's been a good bit. Did you hear what happened in Detroit? We'll get Alex on shortly so we don't belabor our news too much. But Detroit, Jars Cannabis is the second, I believe, medical marijuana company to file suit against Detroit over their recent recreational bill, basically saying, because Detroit said you have to wait until 2027. If you are a current medical business in Detroit, you have to wait until 2027 to apply for a recreational license. How insane is that? And how, I'm on Jars Cannabis side here. Like, what the heck was Detroit thinking?
I mean, man, I love Detroit, but when it comes to cannabis, they haven't been really up to our expectations at all.
Yeah, that's absolutely, and Javi, before we get to Alex, let's get your thoughts on this very weird trend of media out there. And really, it comes down to Fox News putting out this pot psychosis, directly relating it to a surge in violent crime, and honestly blaming weed consumption for these mass shootings.
Yeah, man. Don't even get me started. Honestly, it's a classic deflection tactic, right?
Well, and we're not going to get political. That's not what this is about.
But there's an argument that you hear often. It's like, guns don't kill people. People will kill people. And it's like, not really. Honestly, there's no link to be proven between cannabis use and mass shooting.
It's a perception. It's a lack of education. That's all it is. But I don't, my personal opinion here, Javi, just knowing this country and having grown up in it, I think this is the start of a very annoying and unfortunate cannabis news trend for this industry.
Hope not. I want to close up before we get our guest on with a piece of good news from the Northeast to Eastern Europe. Again, my, tour around the world. Ukraine decriminalized medical marijuana. And they said, we understand the negative effects of combat to mental health and understand that people really could benefit from medical cannabis. So props to Ukraine and, sending love and really strength to all the people in Ukraine and people related to Ukraine and the world in general, right? It's a messed up situation right now. It's self-sufficient. But medical cannabis can certainly help. There's been study after study that proves and shows or suggests to the highest level that scientific evidence can show that cannabis can help with PTSD and other afflictions.
I'm picturing some of these fiery tweets now about the comparisons between Ukraine doing this in wartime and like some states refusing to do it in peace. Anyways, the imagination is going right now. Y'all, I'm telling you, drop your stocks in here. Drop your cannabis stocks. We will talk about them. We'll give you our feelings. We will update you. Not everything is a bear. It is a bearish type trend of a market. But before we do that, let's chat with a good friend of Benzinga. Very excited to bring on Alex Bushman, National Cannabis Practice Leader at Risk Strategies. Aaron, let's get this guy over here. Alex, what's up, man? How are you?
What's going on, guys?
Oh, we're chilling. We're talking about cannabis news and crazy world out there, but we get to talk about cannabis.
I think I enjoyed what you guys were talking about more than anything the last 5 minutes.
Honestly, we try and be interesting. Sometimes we fail. Most of the time, the Argentinian action figure on the screen below me makes it entertaining. But Alex, let's start with you. I am going to hold up to my challenge. We're going to have you make insurance interesting and make it unique. And I'm pumped about it. But first, tell us about you. Tell us about Risk Strategies.
Yes. So I think you nailed it on the head. At the end of the day, insurance has always been something that's just ridiculously boring. it's something that you constantly have to pay for and you wonder what you're paying for. And that's kind of what drew me to cannabis was I was doing the same old boring insurance down in South Florida. So I was insuring condominiums and dealing with a bunch of people from all over the world that lived in these condos that thought they were running a small government when in reality they were just picking insurance for a condominium building. Who cares? And that was kind of right about the time cannabis was going live in Florida. I was lucky enough that I had a few buddies on the legislative side of it. So we started having some serious conversations because Florida has this thing called hurricanes. I don't know how familiar the two of you are with the H word, as we refer to it. We are 7 days into hurricane season. Right now, Tropical Storm Alex already went by South Florida. Go figure. First tropical storm of the year is named after me.
Next one will be Bushman.
Oh, if only they were that creative. That kind of drew me into the cannabis space. Always fascinated me from a risk perspective because the view from 10,000 feet, a cannabis company is no different than a pharmaceutical company or a agricultural company. the only reason they get treated differently is because it's federally illegal at the end of the day. So my thought process was never to reinvent the wheel. It was really just to make the wheel spin a little bit better. And that's kind of what brought me to Risk Strategies. Risk Strategies is privately held company, 3,000 employees. They've gone from $300 million in revenue to $1 billion in revenue in close to 6 years. And that really comes from specializing in certain areas, which brings me to Risk Strategies. They were working on a captive practice nationwide, just didn't find the right puzzle piece to kind of run it. I had a few buddies that their companies were acquired by Risk Strategies, and they had a really good experience with that. So it was kind of a no-brainer for me. I knew I was going to end up at one of the bigger shops, and Risk Strategies just ended up being home. So it's been a great transition. They're really bought into cannabis as a whole, not just, you know, what it is today, what it can be. And I think the gentleman behind Elliot said it best at the Benzinga conference in Miami, the CEO of Tilray, when he was talking about building a brand, you know, cannabis, who's going to be the Nike of cannabis in that sense. So really what we're trying to do is just get cannabis on the same level as all these other companies from an insurance standpoint. And, you know, I think the conversation revolves around banking a lot, and it should revolve around banking a lot because there's so many problems, but people don't realize how much hand in hand insurance goes with banking.
Yeah. No, indeed. You know, insurance is that kind of product that I love to spend money on with the hopes that I never have to use. There's almost no other product like it. But, you know, what are you insuring in the cannabis world, right? Is it property? Is it the crops themselves? There's so much to insure, right? Like, the people have cash, they're transporting cash. So, like, what do you do specifically?
Right. And phenomenal point, because there are so many angles to this. So from an actual plant touching perspective, we insure from the seed all the way to the finished product, all the way to the patient's hands or the customer's hands, depending on what state they're in. So the basic insurance lines that we all know too well, the general liability, the work comp, the property, all of that wonderful stuff. But I would say in the last 5 years, the real conversation piece was more around the management liability policies. So the directors and officers. And the problem for the cannabis space was we as a country became very, very litigious. So directors and officers policies, which are meant to protect, you know, the board members, the actual company itself, and any type of bankruptcy situations from investor lawsuits and whatnot, those policies were expensive no matter what your company was. But if you throw the word cannabis in front of your company, now you're more expensive. And if you want to throw it a whole nother level, you're a publicly traded cannabis company, get ready to bite the bullet on some premium. And, you know, we've had this conversation so much this year. It's just, you know, 8-9 years ago, the conversation was, can we get insurance coverage? Then the conversation became, okay, we can get coverage. It's just difficult and it's expensive. So now you have what I call the big three. You have the original, CanGen was probably the original one in the space that did a lot from an insurance standpoint. Then you have Canisher, QuadScore, a couple more have popped up, CuraTech, and so on and so on. So now there's the capacity that's out there for these MGAs and these MGUs that want to write the cannabis business. But at the same time, you're not hearing any of the usual suspects. Chubb.
What's an MGA and an MGU? Before you go on, I have no idea what
think of think of them as the excess lines of insurance. So they're more free to write what type of business they want. And that kind of leads into my next point. The Chubbs and the Travelers and the AIGs of the world, they're still answering to the federal government and they're still in every state. So they can't pick and choose the business they write from a cannabis standpoint because it is federally illegal. So at the end of the day, you're talking about a giant class of business that is cannabis, and there's not a lot of people that want to write it. So the problem will remain that you're kind of, your hands are tied with where you can go.
Let me just kind of shift gears here a little bit. Just given we don't have a whole lot of time, because I think your perspective on this might be one of the most important, is just the biggest problem in cannabis right now, in my personal opinion, that we all overlook because the stocks suck. that, you know, that it's not federally legal right now. It's just not safe to work in a dispensary. And it's got to impact hiring. It's got to impact performance of these employees and of the companies themselves. So when an insurance company looks at that, how do you justify, but what is your thought process? What are the questions you ask when insuring a dispensary, when insuring retail? Because you say you do handle patients up to patients taking the product. So I imagine that includes dispensaries, you know, so what is your thought process on protecting companies from those problems and, or what do they need to do? To lobby for just federal protection?
Yeah, that's a great question. And we had this conversation actually last week. 90% of crime claims from a cannabis company's perspective are at the dispensary level. Whoa. And at the end of the day, how many dispensaries out there have enough product for someone to break into and have an Ocean's 11 type of steal, if that makes sense? So part of the problem is there's this misconception that we're going to go rob a dispensary, you know, and what can we get out of it? Great. You got $10,000 worth of flower. Was that really worth it at the end of the day? And that kind of stems back to Elliot's question. What can these actual dispensary operators and owners do? And from an insurance perspective, there's a lot of things we look for. Do they have a buzz-in entrance? Do they have cameras on the inside and the outside? If I get through the front door of a dispensary, am I immediately looking at product? Or is there a whole nother wall that I would have to break through to even get to that? And I think that's where the medicinal states have the advantage of the laws that they incorporate. We'll use Florida, for example. You know, once you get into a dispensary in Florida, you give them your ID and your medical card and you're in the waiting room. You're not even back in the room yet with the product. So then once they take you back into the room with the product and you do your order, now the person that takes your order has to go back through another locked door just to get your order and hand it to you. For me, I think that's a pretty good business model. And I'll give them a shout out and a compliment. Verano does that very well with their stores in Florida, the Move dispensaries. I've been in way too many dispensaries, and you know, some of them look like an Apple store and some of them look like you might get stabbed in the corner.
Yeah.
Who are you trying to attract to your dispensary, I think, is also a good point.
I mean, definitely not robbers. And by the way, we need a disclosure here. None of this is a guide on how to rob a dispensary.
Right. God.
Right.
But ideally hope we don't need that disclosure, Javi.
I want to run it by legal.
Oh, goodness. You know, so Alex, honestly, great answer. I appreciate that. I know you're probably not done with your thoughts on that, but I want to, you know, kind of shift us here to risk strategies. You talked earlier about, you know, making the wheel go faster. It seems to me though that the insurance wheel isn't quite complete. You know, so as we move forward, you know, what as investors, what as industry participants can we look for on the insurance side to say this industry has taken the next step forward?
Great question. And my team and I have been all over the country having these conversations. So what we're trying to get people to really buy into is the captive space, which is the self-insured space. So if you had a company with 7,000 employees doing $900 million in revenue and they were a pharmaceutical company, they would be self-insured. No questions asked. And that is something that just wasn't really brought to the table, in our opinion, to these cannabis operators. So what a captive is, essentially, it's a special purpose insurance company that is strictly formed primarily to underwrite the risks of the parent company and their affiliated groups. And when it's structured correctly, the benefits are ridiculous. You could lower your premium costs, you get better control of your actual claims, you stabilize the pricing, you can get coverage for unique risks that you might not be able to get in the open market. You have access to the reinsurance markets. So remember, the insurance premiums that we see from the insurance carriers are dictated by the reinsurance market at the very top. So they're the ones that the insurance companies are buying insurance from. So the insurance carriers themselves might not have an appetite for cannabis. It's the opposite is true for the reinsurance market. They love cannabis. It's the same reason why private equity companies are starting to dive headfirst into it. If I showed you the data for the last 3 years of a cannabis company versus a life science company, it's not like the cannabis company has a freakish amount of claims. They're not doing anything differently. It's just the fact that they have that black label of cannabis on them. So what we're trying to do is get these cannabis companies that fit that mold into captives, and basically take control of their premiums, take control of their claims, and really use that to be a benefit in the long run to either building a company that they eventually want to sell, you know, to the Anheuser-Busches and the RG Reynolds of the world, or they're trying to build a brand. And these brands controlling their insurance costs and their actual insurance and risk management policies is huge in the long run, because you're no longer at the disposal of these insurance carriers.
Totally. And talk about, you know, you were talking about reinsurance, talk about an industry that has no direct correlation with the general markets. And in a year, a couple of years where the cannabis markets have seen a bludgeoning, this is a good business to be in.
Very.
Let's be honest, the Chubbs and the AIGs of the world, they've got cannabis practices ready and rolling as soon as this goes federally legal, because they are well set up in the insurance world to dive headfirst into that space. But that's a great conversation, you know, whenever it happens. But what are we doing about it right now? And what can we do about it right now? Is there a better alternative to risk that people just aren't aware of? Absolutely. So that's the conversation that we're having. And, you know, just like any other industry, the level of expertise at the management level for these cannabis companies has grown drastically. Mm-hmm. And they're coming over from companies that were self-insured. So as soon as they sit down for their first board meeting and they look at their insurance premiums, the CFO is looking around the room going, what the hell are we doing? Like, we're spending how much on insurance? Like, get out of here. So, you know, those are the types of people that we're having the conversations with. And it's not a one size fits all. There's a million ways to carve this turkey, for lack of a better term.
Well, and I will say, for any CFO sitting down to that boardroom table and saying, what are we doing here? Let's switch this. Let's put this in the marketing and into Benzinga products. I think that's a great way that conversation goes. That being said, Alex Bushman, National Cannabis Practice Leader at Risk Strategies. A pleasure, my friend. Looking forward to doing this again soon.
Thank you guys very much. I always appreciate the time.
Of course. Yeah. Awesome. Cheers, guys. Honestly, he made insurance interesting.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I learned something new.
Me too. So, you know, to make Aaron super mad at us, we're going to go over time again. Apologies, AT. But with that, we have a couple stocks. Ari, if you're still on, GRWG, looks like they're having a good couple days here. I'm not going to lie. They've been trending nicely. They are currently sitting at $5.21 per share. I laugh because I remember when they were $50 a share, not really any time in the very near past, but alas, you know, they are having a nice couple of days. With that being said, they're on a watch list for me.
It could be said even much worse for Bright Green, the other stock in the chat, which went from $48 to $270.
Didn't they hit over 50? I thought they hit like 51, 52.
Yeah, I mean, it was really high, and there's the whole deal with the DEA. We can get into that. There's quite a bit to unpack there, but
we should. We should do a show, not necessarily to trash Bright Green, but just to say, see what happened, right? Like, and I think Bright Green's pretty awesome. That being said, you know, BGXX is a unique stock. I don't think there is a foothold for it yet. You know, I would say watch list it, you know, see what happens for now, and follow Javier Hase for updates would be my best advice there. But with GRWG, they are somewhat of an OG on the hydroponic side. They will bounce back. There is no doubt in my mind that GRWG will once again, you know, surge at one point or another. I think it's going to follow the industry for now. So if you're looking for short-term gains, I think you're in the wrong market. that being said, Javi, anything else before we jump to our interview? Our first interview we're going to air from MJ Impact.
Let's unpack it. Let it out of the box.
Awesome. All right. So, guys, I was at MJ Unpacked a few weeks ago, a very brand-centric conference. Really well done by George Jage and team. Thank you for letting us be there. That being said, this is the first of, I believe, 14 or 15 interviews I had across 2 days. Some awesome companies, some fantastic interviews. It's like 7 minutes long, so stay tuned. See what the conversations are being had with these industry leaders. We will see you again on Thursday at 4. Tune into Cannabis Daily every morning on your socials around 8:15 a.m. On BZ Cannabis. Other than that, Javier, love you, brother. We'll see you next time.
Peace. All right, my friends. Benzinga Cannabis Insider is here at MJ Unpacked. This is New York edition. We are, what month is it? May in 2022. We are here talking to some really cool brands. We're going to start with Denise DiNardi. Did I say that correctly?
You did.
Denise DiNardi, Chief Sales Officer of Native Roots. Let's start with the obvious question. What is Native Roots?
Native Roots is a vertically integrated organization in Colorado. We have 20 dispensaries. And we are a native, actually, of Colorado. We've been around for a long time.
That's solid. 20 dispensary solid. Footprint. That's one of the largest in the state, right?
It is, indeed.
That's exciting. So I got a little bit about our lovely guest's background before she came on, and it has to do a lot with retail.
Correct.
So if you want to give us a little bit of where you've worked prior to cannabis, and then I'd love to go into how that's affecting the retail in your company now.
Oh, great. Okay, I'd love to. So I actually started in retail as a franchisee in natural beauty. So really jumped in with both feet, had no idea what I was doing, and that's the best way to learn. And owned and operated retail stores. It was a company out of England called The Body Shop. And we were first in the U.S. with natural beauty. Okay. So it was an exciting emerging market, which is where I landed today. And then transitioned over to the corporate environment, a division of Estee Lauder, Aveda. So again, natural beauty, focused more on hair care. And we had a footprint of 110 stores and really oversaw those store operations. And then the cannabis opportunity kind of happened accidentally. And I decided to explore. I saw it as something very, very exciting. Mm-hmm. And retail was still maturing. So that's how I ended up at Native Roots and a move to Colorado.
And it still is maturing.
It still is.
I imagine you still have a long way to go before you get what you'd like.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Can you go in a little bit into what to what you've done for Native Roots to really take them to the next level of retail?
Yes. So, you know, the cannabis experience can be very, very intimidating for customers. So, and I think in our industry also, the people who work in the industry, the bud tenders, they're all passionate about cannabis, and they don't always understand that people who are new are, it's really difficult to go into a dispensary, you don't know the questions to ask. Our stores are very busy, you have that pressure to complete the transaction. So it was really, how did you convert that transaction to an experience? So that was really my focus, is how do you keep your customers? Because we know that the lifetime value is critical with a customer. And really, how do you elevate that experience, engage the customer in your brands, in the service model, et cetera? So kind of in a snippet, that's what I brought, was really that experiential outlook and the storytelling behind the products we produce and the products we carry as well.
Great. How did that transition into any type of e-commerce? I'm assuming you all have some of that as well.
We have e-commerce. And, you know, ideally, as you say, we're maturing. I long for the day that we're a true omni-channel environment.
Of course.
But really, e-commerce is, we want to meet our customers where they want to be met. So really, that online experience has to mirror the in-store experience as close as possible. So the education we do in stores, how do you mirror that online? We have a good majority of online transactions. I like to call them click and collect, order online, pick up in store. But really, the online experience is really the wayfinding online, product education. But really, once they come into the store, that's where the difference is between experience and transaction. Online customers want to close that transaction quickly. So that's been an evolution, especially during the pandemic, where we had to really flip a switch.
Yeah. Of course.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm going to put you on the spot just a tad.
Sure.
Because I want to use your massive expertise here to our advantage. outside of Amazon and take those kind of like top-end companies out, is there a retail brand that you feel is a great model for what you're trying to do at Native Roots?
Oh boy, there, you know, it's interesting because I'm part of a customer experience journey as an advisor with CU Boulder, and this is a topic that we talk about all the time. So from an online experience, there's quite a few companies that do it well. Mm-hmm. Say from travel, you look at Delta, they have a great, they really do have a great opportunity. And even, you know, when you look at help, we know that that's a pain point with an online experience is when you have a question to ask and there isn't a person, and they really approach it different ways. You can call, email, chat. So really, how do we bring that to our platform as well? We're going to be launching a virtual bed tender, a virtual chat, really that education piece for both our medical and our recreational
customers. Are you looking at application form for some of that, or is this website form?
We are looking at application form down the road. We're not quite there. Our IT roadmap is pretty robust, and we'll be launching a lot of new initiatives, most likely in Q4 of this year, working on it now.
And we'll finish here, but you know, I'm curious. We've seen a lot of apps launch recently, from Tyson 2.0 and TerraSend and you know, several others. I think probably three or four others over the last few months as well. How do you cut through that? All these different apps, like why should people download like your app or a different app versus 20 other apps?
Yeah, I think for us, so when we do launch an app, it's what you tie to that app. So we launched a loyalty program that's been very successful. So when you have loyalty wrapped into your app where you can see your points, see what your rewards are, if we have, you know, what I like to call our inner circle, so our customers that are our most loyal, that we may use them for product testing or launching new strains. They get the inside peek at new strains. And we also have a customer feedback tool. So if we can wrap all of that into an app where we're really tied into the customer engagement, I think that is one reason. But I'll tell you, most of us download an app with, how many apps do you have that have loyalty tied to them?
A lot. Yes, all of them. So, almost all of them.
Exactly. So.
And if not, they guilt you into it by the ads that they throw at you. And
exactly. Yeah. And what's new and exciting? So we know in retail everybody loves newness. So what's new and exciting, loyalty, what's in it for me?
Yeah, of course.
Those are the key drivers.
The community aspect.
Exactly.
It's what you're driving at. Awesome. So yes. I think any last words you want to say about Native Roots, about what's exciting about 2022? Before, you know, we'll get you on again and check in, but this has been a really nice initial meeting with you.
Yeah, you know, 2022 for us, it's, every year for us is growth. We're always expanding. We launched two new store designs, and they're an open cell format. That's been really exciting. We're working on a hybrid approach because you can't realistically convert the remainder of your 18 stores overnight, but what's that hybrid approach that works? So we're really diving into store design, the experience as well, and then customer or employee engagement. So we're really tied into our employees. My philosophy is when your employees are happy, your customers are. So it's really that people part of the business is critical for us. And then some of the things we talked about on our technical side, that we have a really robust roadmap. So
exciting. This is an exciting year
innovation.
For Native Roots.
It is very exciting. So if you come to Colorado or come and visit Native Roots, we'll
invitation
give you a tour.
Accepted.
There you go.
Invitation accepted. Awesome. Denise DiNardi, awesome with Native Roots, Chief Sales Officer. Check them out. Keep an eye out for some more virtual and website oriented footprints there. But thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Membership fees apply after free trial. Cancel any time.
Can I be real for a second? That goal you have to exercise and eat better, you really can do it. But nobody is going to do it for you. And nobody has to, because you can do it if you have the right tools and a community that cares about helping you get results. And that's us, Beachbody. It's as convenient as your TV or laptop, but you need to decide that you're worth it. Let us help you succeed. Here's how. Go to Beachbody.com to claim your free membership and start feeling great.
Home. They say it's where the heart is. They also say it's wherever you make it. They don't say. It's where you unload your stuff, get tired halfway through unpacking, use some boxes as furniture, realize your oven mitt's in a box that doubles as a nightstand, don't want to buy a new nightstand, and use a towel as an oven mitt instead. But no matter where you call home, Geico makes it easy to bundle and save on renters and car insurance. Easier than grabbing a piping hot pan with a towel that's a bit too thin and trying to quickly get it to the counter. Ooh, hot, 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 hot.
This episode is brought to you by Verizon. Get a Verizon Business Unlimited plan from the network businesses rely on. Hey, Monica, with 5G Ultra Wideband in many more cities, you get up to 10 times the speed at no extra cost.
Hello, downloads in no time.
Plus, unlimited premium data and hotspot data to keep the signal flowing and your teams going. Come in or book an appointment with a Verizon business expert to find the right plan for your team. 5G Ultra Wideband available in over 1,700 cities with Business Unlimited Pro 2.0 smartphone plan. Speed comparison is to median Verizon 4G LTE speeds. Download speeds may vary depending upon network and coverage conditions and content optimization for 5G Ultra Wideband.
Jeep Freedom Days are here, where right now, well-qualified returning FCA lessees get a low-mileage lease on the 2022 Grand Cherokee WK Laredo E4x4 for $369 a month for 36 months with $3,799 due at signing. Tax, title, license extra. No security deposit required. Call 1-888-925-JEEP for details. Requires dealer contribution, a lease to Chrysler Capital. Lessee is responsible for termination fees. Current lease must end by 7/3/23. Extra charge for miles over 30,000. Residency restrictions apply. Take delivery by 7/5/22. Jeep is a registered trademark.